Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Guy Geish, and welcome to Revenue Marketer Radio. Twice a month, we meet to talk about real revenue marketers and what they're up to, to learn their tips and tricks and how to make that transition from traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And everyone, it's more than just listening. This is an interactive radio show, so please feel free to call in or chat, and we're happy to include you in the dialogue. Now, before I introduce our guest today, who is phenomenal, by the way, I'd like to take a moment to define the term revenue marketing. So it may be new to some of you. But revenue marketing is the process of transforming marketing from a cost center to a revenue center, and almost every B2B marketer is feeling that pressure to be accountable. So revenue marketing is that discipline that helps you achieve financial accountability. And every single revenue marketer that we have on the show is on the revenue marketing journey, and they're here to share with you what works, what does not work, and their own gotchas or those hidden roadblocks. I am so pleased to announce today's guest, a good friend of mine, Robin Caputo, who is the CMO of DataVail. Let me tell you a little bit about her, and then we'll get right into finding out Robin's story. First of all, Robin has more than 25 years' experience in executive positions in the areas of marketing, communications, and PR. And she's worked with some really large companies, companies like Quest and Cyber, and now she's the CMO at DataVail. The thing that's also great about Robin is that she gives back to the community. She's a guest lecturer at the MBA level on branding and digital marketing at the University of Denver. She is an advisory board member to the Outsourcing Institute, on the advisory board of the Mid-Market CMO Forum for boardroom events, and is a frequent speaker at marketing and leadership events. She earned her bachelor's degree from the University of Denver with a double major in communications and political science. Now, what's really fascinating about Robin and the reason that we have her on the show today is what she's doing in her current role as CMO of DataVail. In the last 18 months, Robin has accelerated the marketing's contribution to pipeline by 4X. She's grown it now 60% of sales and 75% of pipeline in terms of deals from marketing-generated leads. She's responsible for all aspects of marketing and inside sales with an emphasis on revenue marketing through prospect engagement with the implementation of the buyer's journey and multiple personas, marketing, and content operations. Wow, that's a mouthful, Robin, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. So why don't we begin by telling the folks who are listening a little bit about your current role and basically why you were hired?
Well, I knew the CEO at DataVail. He and I had worked together at a previous company, and he had been telling me about his new gig at DataVail and how exciting it was. So we actually talked about the company for more than a year before I joined, and he really wanted, I think, an aggressive but practical marketing leader who could really make a difference very quickly. And that difference was revenue, was the contribution from marketing to sales, because he's a big believer in marketing. I think on the soft skills side, I think we knew each other from a trust, you know, work ethic, our willingness and ability to learn and act quickly. You know, we got along well. We debate, you know, the heck out of things, but then really making an impact. So that was the reason I joined. We decided that we really needed a laser focus on demand generation. But with that came the meaningful contribution to both the top and the bottom line, above all else, above branding, above, you know, frankly, employee communication. You know, as a growth company with a niche service and we have a very identifiable universe of buyers, we can effectively implement demand generation and achieve brand awareness at the same time.
So, Robin, what was it like for you to come into an organization to head up basically revenue marketing and have a CEO who actually understood the connection between marketing and revenue?
It's huge. I mean, I cannot overemphasize the critical aspect of that, because he and I really partner together. In many ways, it's like having an extra person on the marketing team, because he not only has the vision behind it, but he can roll up his sleeves, you know, and help articulate the value proposition and then help guide the marketing team from the financial side of it as well, so that we are tracking, you know, the right metrics in alignment with sales, with operations, and with the board. You know, we work together on sometimes an hourly basis, so that we're moving the company together forward in alignment on the right types of metrics.
So had you ever had that relationship before in other companies, or worked in other companies where the executives understood the contribution that marketing can and should be making to revenue?
Not nearly to the extent that we have here. And I think some of that has to do with the size of the company, but I think it's a change in the way that industries are looking at marketing, and that it's not just about brand and communication, which are so difficult to measure. Nice to have, but really couldn't understand the impact of it. We now understand directly not only what marketing's contributing to revenue, but what channels within marketing, what content is contributing, and how much that's costing, not on a cost per lead basis only, but also a cost per deal basis. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters.
So let's talk back to, it's your first day on the job as the CMO of Datavail. You've really come in to rev up the revenue engine through marketing. What state was marketing in, and what were some of the key initiatives that you took?
So when I arrived, marketing was contributing to the pipeline, primarily through paid search, but it really wasn't tracked well through the entire buyer's journey, and it certainly wasn't nurtured. Lots of cold calling going on, but not integrated at all with marketing efforts. We had a website that had just launched, but if you can believe this, no one on the marketing team had access to it and could make changes or update the content. We had some events, but really no integrated campaigns and no meaningful content. And the alignment with sales and marketing was really non-existent. From a metrics perspective, they were measuring CPA and cost per lead, some tracking of telemarketing through the sales process, but really no BANT qualification at all. So we had some work to do. I mean, but again, the fact that we had a CEO who was willing to get in there and work with it to make it happen, we got a lot done very quickly in terms of creating an infrastructure first and foremost that was efficient and then capable of tracking those metrics. One of the first things is reorganize the team. We have a very small but mighty team. I added a communications manager, added a web designer, creative person who had both web and design skills. I removed a layer of management, a director who was really just managing and not contributing. And then we also have highlighted our operations analytics function as the glue that really holds us all together, because she's the one who tracks the metrics. We started campaigns of all kinds to start some testing and get a steady flow of warm leads. And then we started tracking those campaigns by channel and by specific source. So we started to get results on what was working and what wasn't. So paid content syndication, we tried outsourced telemarketing, paid leads, organic leads, social media, national events, online events, local events. We created a content engine with white papers, webinars, videos, social, blogs. Another thing we did was engage with an analyst firm to try to establish that influencer credibility that we really needed to get kicked off. So a lot done in the first 6 months.
So, Robin, so when you came in, I mean, clearly the current marketing team was not acting as revenue marketers. What was the transition like for your current team members? Was it a challenge for them? Is it something that they immediately understood? What was that transition like for them?
Well, out of the people here when I joined, and it's only a small team of five people, only one is still here. So I think some of it is if people don't have the right mindset and really the right attitude, I think attitude is as important as aptitude here, that they're willing to be responsible and held accountable to not just getting an activity done, but to a number, to a result from that campaign. It's not about kicking off a campaign. It's about having a campaign that achieves results. I mean, in fact, the worst thing in the world is to have a campaign that doesn't have any results other than, okay, you got some testing done, you know it didn't work. And we also, you know, had to actually replace a couple of people, and we did it pretty quickly, who just, for instance, from a social media standpoint, didn't understand that the reason we're having social media is to engage in conversation, not just to post things on LinkedIn. So now I think it's very exciting. We all celebrate when we achieve our numbers at the end of a month or the end of a quarter. And now each individual member on the marketing team has their own number, depending on what stage they are responsible for in the buyer's journey or within a particular kind of content that they know they have to achieve each month.
I love that. I love that level of accountability. And clearly, that is a level of accountability we're seeing in marketing across many organizations these days. I'd like to ask you another question around transition, and then we'll get into what you actually did that you were able to lead the company from 25% contribution to pipeline to 75% contribution to pipeline. And clearly, when you came in and you began revenue marketing, Robin, your marketing team had to go through a transition. You had a CEO who was fully bought in and on board and actually was a huge advocate for revenue marketing. But what was it like for marketing to transition into this new role for other stakeholders within the organization, other executives or the sales organization? What was that transition like?
I think it was very unusual for them when I would not only ask, but demand that our team be part of the whole accountability of being responsible for contribution to revenue, to leads, to and being willing to be held to a number. You know, all of us get very frustrated when people ask us to make something pretty. But if that's what you're known for, and if that's what you run around touting, here's my latest beautiful brochure, right, rather than, hey, we contributed 75% of the closed deals this month. That makes a difference. Financial people, operations people, even sales people talk in numbers and quotas. And marketing people have to start speaking that way too, rather than the, you know, artistic side of a creative brochure.
So how did you lead that change? Because that's huge, especially with sales.
Well, with sales, I did a lot, and I still do, a lot of listening. Because in our B2B environment, right, I have to hand off leads to sales. And marketing doesn't win. My quota is only achieved if sales closes deals. And when they understand that connection, and you can have that two-way dialogue of what's working, and then because we're giving leads that's working, I can then demand that they're following up on those leads, right? So we have a very, very good two-way dialogue that goes on. I talk to the East Coast sales reps on the way in and the West Coast sales reps on my commute home. And we're always talking about different things that we can do to make an impact. And it's a wonderful relationship. I'm really pleased with that piece of the pie.
So, Robin, how instrumental would you say your working relationship is with sales to your contribution to the pipeline and to revenue?
It's critical, right? Because we are, our number one metric is sales bookings as a result of marketing generated, not influenced, but marketing generated. The deals have to be closed from a first in from marketing generated. We're not to fractional attribution yet. And we look at both the actual dollars as also the percentage, right? So, and the other thing we look at is pipeline contribution, the percentage of the pipeline from both a number standpoint and a dollar value from marketing generated leads. And so with that laser focus and the salespeople understand their feedback, that closed loop feedback of what's working and what isn't, that they're going to get better, more qualified, and more leads if they can continually give feedback about what's going well.
Okay, I think that's great insight for anyone listening. Let's go back to when you came into the organization. And clearly you were brought in to make changes. Clearly you were brought in to lead a revenue charge that was coming from marketing. So what were some, and you listed a whole lot of key initiatives that you did, but if you were to take a look at maybe the top two key initiatives that you did coming into the organization, what were the things that you did that really helped get the pipeline or the revenue machine up and running? Besides getting the right people on the bus with you.
Right. So I think first and foremost, we relaunching the website and the associated content because it's the hub of all activities. It just was not working. And all the SEO that goes with it and the engagement and the call to action and getting that those incoming leads, right, because about 50% of our qualified leads come in from incoming based on either paid or organic search. So that would be number one. I think the other thing that made a big difference is moving inside sales team. We have an excellent inside sales team, really, really good now, and moving that to marketing. So less of a focus on cold calling and much more integrated into the flow and beginning to understand how to use content in those conversations, how to look at the digital body language that our website and our analytics and Pardot and, you know, are able to demonstrate, and Google Analytics are able to demonstrate so they can have those conversations and better understand what the person who is called in or who they've called is interested in and is focused on.
You and I had talked about before the impact of having that TelQual group report to you, and clearly when you came into the organization, it was within the sales structure, and then they reported to you. And that's something that we're seeing in quite a number of organizations. And I think, to your point, it makes a lot of sense, and it also helps you be much more effective when you have that group reporting to you. And I think it has to do with the quality of the leads that are being presented to sales. So maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit more about the value of your TelQual group.
They're the point of entry for so many prospective clients. So their interaction from either a chat perspective or a phone call, incoming phone call perspective or outgoing, right, is key. So the TelQual people have to know your business and have to know the pain points, right, and they're excellent at. And then supplementing that and helping them understand how the different personas work and how to use different content as they have those conversations. Having them concentrate on and prioritize their interactions on obviously incoming hot leads. They call them gimmies, which is kind of an interesting phrase, but when somebody calls in and says, hey, I need help, they call that a gimme. It's pretty funny. but warm leads, right, where they're following up with someone who has an interest, and then really deprioritizing cold calling. Just as an aside, you know, quite often salespeople will say, if I only had my own telemarketer setting up appointments just for me. I said, okay, we're going to try that. So I hired for 3 months a telemarketer, assigned them to a salesperson, and they worked together. The only thing that person did was to try to set up appointments for that salesperson, and they were completely cold. And it was a dismal failure, a complete failure. But we had to test it and show, looking at this from a more continuous process with warm leads coming in and generated from marketing, followed up for by inside sales and then handed off to outside sales, is a much more effective way to run that sales process.
I think that's a great story. And what I really appreciate about that is that you had a test. You know, you didn't say, no, we can't do it, but you ran the test. You proved that the old way doesn't work, and then you introduced the new way using TelQual with warm leads, and it just clearly made a huge difference to your pipeline. I want to go back to two things, Robin. And the first is on your incoming, 50% of your leads are generated from your incoming traffic. And when you came into the company, you know, you didn't have as many leads and your SEO was not working as well. But I also wanted to talk about, how do you pair incoming traffic with nurture campaigns? How do you connect those two things? Because clearly not everyone who's an inbound lead converts. So what do you do with the ones that don't convert?
So that's a great point, and I will tell you that's an area that we're focused on moving forward using the buyer's journey and persona work that we did with you and with Compose, is nurturing people who aren't quite ready yet, right? As we get more information and are able to segment and target with relevant content at the right time in their journey. You know, one of the big things we changed was our search agency. We work with one agency just specifically around page search and some organic search. And I had an agency for about 9 months, and I didn't want to mess with that in the beginning because it was working pretty well. But the thing that got very frustrating is there was a lot of smoke and mirrors. And I wanted to understand exactly what was happening in paid search and what our ad groups were, and measurement down to as finite as a level as I could get. And I just couldn't get the previous agency to move on that.
I think a lot of search agencies are still all about the activity. And as revenue marketers, we want to connect search to revenue. That's what the whole game is about. We want to get people engaged so that we can nurture them. And so I think that story, and I think you interviewed like 10 different companies before
yes.
you actually chose the agency.
Right, and we went through a quick RFP process and brought them in with our CEO, who, by the way, also understands very, very deeply paid search. And you know, it was crazy when the number one thing that a lot of the agencies wanted to focus on, well, we can reduce your CPA. You know what? You can double my CPA if it contributes to revenue, right? It's
That's
all
exactly
about
right.
the closed deals, not the cost per acquisition.
That's exactly right. So, Robin, I have two more questions, and we have about 8 minutes left. I want to make sure I get both these questions in. And the first question is, you know, as you were taking a look at contribution to pipeline, what difference did it make understanding who your customer was and what their buyer journey was all about?
So we didn't do a very good job of that in the very beginning because it was all about getting the infrastructure in. Now, between the buyer's journey and then the implementation of Compose, which has been a lifesaver, is I believe that's why we can improve and grow even more, because we will be able to be very, very specific in our nurturing and getting people the information they need at the right time. So that's we're already seeing that. We've launched, since you and I worked together at the beginning of January, we've probably launched 10 campaigns, including two major campaigns aimed at our primary personas, and it's making a huge difference already.
I'm really, really glad to hear that. And then the other question that I have, and I know this because you and I work together, is that when you came into the company and they wanted you to rev up the marketing engine, you didn't have enough money, so you had to go ask for some more. What was that like?
Well, again, because the CEO was a believer in marketing, we just had to get the infrastructure in place and the campaigns moving and then tweaking. And then I had to be willing, frankly, to give up some things that as a brand marketer I was so proud of. But guess what? It wasn't contributing. And so when you see those numbers staring you in the face, you quickly move and make changes. And we were able to go to the board, I think about 9 months in, and ask for substantially more money. And it's very interesting. As I speak to the board, the number one thing they ask me in the hallway is, do you have enough money to get done what you need to get done?
Wow. Doesn't every marketer wish a board member would ask them that question? Can I throw some more money your way? That's amazing. That's amazing, Robin. Well, Robin, clearly you've been on a career that's really been about how to improve marketing, how marketing contributes to the value of an organization, and especially the last few years, this whole notion of revenue marketing. If you were going to give advice to a marketer who was just beginning this journey, what would you tell them?
Learn Excel, and not just to manage lists, right? I mean, all kidding aside, you know, it's beyond being able to meet a budget. It's able to track the right metrics, understand how your CRM booking system integrates with your financial system, make sure that you're in alignment with your CEO and your CFO in terms of what metrics matter, and then not only track those metrics, but the holy grail is to forecast and to say, with this amount of investment or where we're at right now, I'm going to be able to contribute this much in closed deals and sales, and then they take it and move it through, you know, to revenue and EBITDA. That's number one. And then testing and being willing to back away from something that doesn't work, and don't keep pouring money into something that's demonstrating it's reached a threshold of diminishing returns or just isn't working.
I love that. It's really managing marketing like a business, isn't it, Robin?
It really is. And that's, I think, being confident. You know, once you're able to establish some trend lines and some results, be confident in your ability to go speak with your CEO, with your board, about what you can contribute. And talk in numbers. I think as marketers, sometimes we have a tendency to talk about activities versus numbers. Your board expects you to manage your activities. They want to know about the results and numbers.
Absolutely. Well, Robin, you have been delightful. You've shared so much information, so many insights with our listeners today. So thank you very much. And again, these podcasts are available at Blog Talk Radio, Revenue Marketer Radio, or also on iTunes. And I also hope that everyone can join us in 2 weeks. Well, our next show will be about revenue marketing success with the channel. Talk about a challenge. But Michelle Shantara, who's the Senior Director, America's Partner in U.S. Commercial Marketing for Cisco, will be sharing with us how it's possible and how Cisco has been wildly successful. So thanks, everybody. Really enjoyed having you with us on the show today. And remember, it's a great day to be a revenue marketer, and see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.